Have you ever got impatient with yourself because you cannot stay peaceful in certain situations? Like every time your neighbor rings your doorbell, you fear he's going to blame you for something you supposedly should do or didn't do? Or at work with your boss, or when at a family dinner someone is starting on a specific topic you know it's causing disharmony? In today's episode, we are finding out why we cannot stay at peace even if we want to, and what to do to change that. Welcome to the Family Constellation Virtual Podcast. I'm your host Maya, and with every episode I take you deep down into family systems in search for ancestral healing. I have close to 20 years of experience in this field, working for international clients, workshop participants and trainees, as a systemic coach and facilitator with a bachelor degree in family constellations in the method of Bert Hellinger. Here we are exploring hidden dynamics and family secrets, finding what heals the family wound and what brings happiness and freedom to our lives with case studies, insights and interviews around family constellation and related soul healing modalities. We are all looking for peace in our lives, but find it hard to stay peaceful most of the times. Being drawn into the drama of relationships at home or in the workplace by default is tiring and makes us questioning the meaning of it all. What's the point? Why is this happening all the time, although everyone involved is actually looking for peace? The point is, without experiencing how it is to be not at peace, we wouldn't have the desire to get out of this low state of energy and come to a higher state, the state of peace. Peace is part of the duality of our reality. Peace only exists in a world that is also experiencing to be not at peace. Does this make sense? Peace is part of the duality of our reality. It is not the absolute, the highest, the oneness enlightenment seekers are longing to find. And what is the opposite of peace? Some might say war, but I would call it non-ease. To be not at ease with what is happening in this moment. And that, if followed through undetected, is actually creating the drama. The drama at home, at work, at Netflix. You don't need to invade another country armed to the teeth to go to war, while you have it right there at your doorstep at all times. To overcome this state of mind and find peace in the present moment is taking out the dramas in your life and the world wars instantly. The good news is you don't need to meditate for hours a day, go to a yoga festival or retreat to the mountain cave for months to find peace. 3 deep breaths, a few quiet moments sitting on the ground connecting with Mother Earth, et voila, peace has arisen. It is that easy. Much more difficult is to stay in this state of mind, and that is actually the struggle. But why do we need to pursue something that is impossible to obtain? Peace always comes with unease. That's duality. There is no state of being at peace all the time. There is only being at peace in one moment and being not at ease in the other moment. So why don't you just relax? We have to bow to the simple fact that peace is a momentary achievement through either intention or divine intervention. And why not? If you find yourself at unease with what is, just sit down and take 3 breaths, and peace will find you once again. In this way, you are also at peace with your peace-seeking mind. Let the moment be as it is and just breathe deeply. All you need to do is to observe your mind. Be aware when it starts to go at war with the present moment and pull the plug. Sit down and take this 3, yes, now you know it, 3 deep breaths and let peace find you once again. Before you allow your mind to gallop over the meadows with loose reins straight into war with the present moment. All you have to do is keep your reins on the mind tight. The next step is to be present and detect when the mind leaves the state of peace and goes back to war, to create dramas in your life once again. Now that you know the difference, how it feels to be at peace and to be at an unease, you actually have a choice in which state you want to find yourself in more often or most of the time. If the answer to this question is, I want to be at peace, try this. Before you even feel the urge to sit down and take the 3 deep breaths to reconnect with the present moment, make a decision that you are not going to leave your state of peace in the first place. Just acknowledge whatever is happening in this moment, and that means not to judge it to be either good or bad, but just realize the simple fact it is what it is. But peace will have found you once again, or better, has not left you yet. The opposite is what means to be at unease. That means that you are not holding the reins of your mind tight. Someone else is holding them. Someone who wants to create drama in your life, going to war, burning down the house. Who the heck is this? Sabotaging each genuine effort to stay at peace no matter what the circumstances are. So let's have a closer look at this imposter, who it is. Where does he come from and why is he staying with you so closely? He's going by a lot of different names. I would like to call it the second mind or the conditioned mind. In the first 7 years of our lives, the mind is in a so-called theta state, in which it absorbs the signals from the environment without having a filter to decide if that is what you actually want to live by for the rest of your life or not. This filter, consciousness, or on a physical level, the frontal lobe of the brain, comes into play when you turn 8 years old. In theta, one is conditioned by the circumstances one is born into. This is a fantastic trait of nature to ensure the survival of the human race in any environment, and it opens the possibility to change and evolve with the demands of the world the baby is born into within the first 7 years. So by default, this is a good thing. The problem arises when the environment is not defined by peace, but by being at unease or dis-ease. The child absorbs this behavior, which is creating drama over and over again from the parents, the peer group, the wider family, in school, church, on TV, computer games, you name it. Once the child is grown up and wants to make conscious choices as an adult, for example, to be at peace rather than creating drama, the conditioned mind kicks in and takes over the reins and sabotages every effort towards the new paradigm. Simply because that's what it's used to, and therefore it thinks that this is the right behavior to play it safe. So how do we take over the reins of the mind again that enables us to make conscious choices which contradicts our conditioned mind? A quite common modality is NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Another one that is within the scientific standards is CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. Both working with communication to identify the conditioned behavior and change it by overriding it with new information. That can be done also by simply practicing positive thinking. But all these methods are addressing the mind to overrule mind pattern. They try to get rid of the problem with the help of the problem. Does that sound right? And exactly here lies the problem. The mind is not willing to let go of control and get rid of itself. It might pretend to be on the same side as you and your intention to change, but when it comes head to head with a perceived life-threatening situation, it will pull the plug and retreat back to the conditioned behavior. Who cannot tell a story when this has happened over and over again? We all go that far and then something happens and we are falling back into old habits. And that means peace of mind is gone once again and drama enters our life in form of a finished relationship, a lost job, a disease, an undesired eating pattern, or any form of depression. So if you cannot rely on the mind to fix itself, are we doomed with our conditioned mind? Is real change not possible? Thankfully, we are also blessed with another important part of our body system, the heart. We not only have a physical heart that pumps blood through our veins, but also a spiritual heart that goes by the name of the second heart. The yogis of the world have been telling us all along that this is the source of life where decisions ought to be made which will lead us to a creative, fulfilled and peaceful life. So the next question is, how do we access this non-physical heart, the second heart, to overrule the second mind? How far the rabbit hole do you really want to go? Have you watched the movie What the Bleep Do We Know from 2004? This mainstream introduction into the world of the unseen forces, which we all use, mostly unconsciously, to create our reality with our thoughts and emotions, is worth watching. It covers quantum physics as well as spiritual beingness, and indeed these two aspects of life are going together like a pair of shoes. They take us on the road to creation and to stay at peace even in challenging times, if that's where we want to go. We have to acknowledge that the forces at work to create our reality are not visible to our eyes and cannot be argued with by our mind. So how can we access these forces that makes them visible and workable for us? The answer is through morphogenetic field resonance healing. As Einstein is often quoted, our world, including us, is only made out of two building blocks, which creates all substances, information and vibration, or together called energy. Everything is energy, therefore energy can transform into everything. This is good news. We can finally overcome conditioned behavior without strenuous mind activities by tapping into the energy field and accessing the information needed to create a new reality where peace is the default setting and not drama. Dr. Rupert Sheldrick has discovered the power of the fields, which every system is creating and where information is stored beyond time and space for when it would be needed again. Families are an example of a system that creates a morphogenetic field, which is storing all information of all generations that are traumatic and conditioned. Most of the information are emotional traumas which occurred back in our ancestral line. Through family constellations, we are able to tap into the morphogenetic field of our family system and reveal this information to finally find what heals and to overcome heavy burdens and discover true change, not only in the mind, but in our energy field, created by our second heart, where the new self is manifested and will stay. Your search for peace was only the beginning of a journey to self, a start to go deep down into family systems to uncover hidden dynamics and secrets back to seven generations, to find lasting freedom and happiness for your life and the life of your loved ones. If you want to know more about Dr. Rupert Sheldrick's work and findings of the morphogenetic field, you'll get lots of YouTube videos, books and talks from him online. So that's my thoughts to share with you in this episode. In our next episode, we will look at a case from my practice as a systemic coach and family constellation facilitator from a client who had a thyroid disease and what we did to help her heal this and other issues. Thank you for listening. If you want to bring more happiness and freedom to your life and the life of your loved ones, please visit us at familyconstellationvirtual.com and sign up for a workshop, a training, or a one-on-one session, and check out our YouTube channel. If you sign up for our newsletter to stay tuned, you will also receive for free our guided meditation, The Gift, to help you connect with your ancestors.